Happy New Year. Happy New Year. 2018 is almost here. It's crazy. You know, I wish for you in this new year that you would be able to experience our good God in a deeper and even more personal way than this past year. That's what I hope for you. But it's more than hope. We want to help you do that this year. And so our team has already planned our teaching series for all of next year, for all of 2018. And the goal of that is to help all of us to truly be able to grow in our spiritual lives, to really be able to connect with God more and more. And we've been very intentional about that, and I'm excited about what's going to happen. Our team has, we've prayed about this, we've researched, we've reflected, we've prayed some more, and I think we've got a terrific idea planned to help us in this new year. And let me just talk to you about what's going to happen in January and February of this year as we get started. Next Sunday, which is January 7th, we're going to celebrate our unique mission and vision as a church. For those of you who are new, maybe you're not familiar with our mission. Those of you who have been a part of Pantano for a while, you're maybe more familiar with it. But it goes like this: loving people to Jesus. And we get that part. That's actually the part that makes the most sense to us, loving people to Jesus. But that's not the totality of our mission. Loving people to Jesus, launching passionate people to make a difference. And we don't talk a lot about the launching passionate people. So next Sunday, we're going to have 7 of our new church partners join us. These are our churches that are going to start in January, February, new churches starting. These are churches that are going to restart. They closed down, and now we're going to restart, or they're trying to go through this process of renewal. And the reason that we've come alongside them, we call them our partners, is that we're trying to help them to truly be effective in bringing Jesus to their neighborhoods, to their communities. And so part of our mission is launching passionate people. Some of you, God may call some of you to go and help these churches, at least for a period of time, to get started or to restart. And we want to make that available to you. And I know that it's not common for churches to think this way or to talk this way. You know, it's kind of like, we want to keep our members here. We want to launch you because we want to see our whole city transform. And we're going to talk about that next week. And then the Sunday after that, January 14th, I'm going to have a good friend join me. We're going to share the message together. His name is Pastor Grady Scott. And Grady is a well-known, very respected African-American pastor here in Tucson. We've become friends, been friends for a number of years. And we together, we want to share how we believe that the gospel, I really believe it's only through the gospel that we're able to bring together people from different races, backgrounds, histories. And that's what God intends and desires, that we have this, not just valuing diversity, but that we truly have a deeper unity, and that comes through the gospel. We're going to talk about that on the 14th. I can't wait for you to meet Pastor Grady. And then we're going to start a 5-part series that we have called Making Room. And what we're going to do in that 5-part series is look at 5 practical ways we can make more room for God in our lives so that God can truly bring about spiritual growth and spiritual health and transformation in our lives. So that's the direction that we're going, and that's going to be our focus in the early part of 2018. We want to focus on how we can see our city transformed and our souls transformed. But before 2018 is officially here tonight, midnight, I want to help you to be able and to be ready to experience real transformation, to grow in some significant spiritual ways. And I discovered that there are 2 keys that we actually rarely talk about but are really critical. They're foundational to our ability to really join with God as He transforms our lives. And when these things aren't present, the transformation process is much more difficult, sometimes doesn't even happen. And so I want to talk about these two things, and they're our energy and our ability to focus. Energy and focus, those are the foundational things. And so my main point today is actually a question. I want you to be able, hopefully through this message, to answer this question for yourself. And here's the question: how will I have the energy and focus to allow God to transform me? How can I grow and increase my energy and have a clear focus that it will really help God to really work in my life to bring about real change and transformation? I think most of us want to change in good ways. So it's not a lack of desire that hinders that. For most of us, it's actually that we struggle with, we don't have enough energy to really do the work that we need to do to work with God, or we don't have a clear focus. We get distracted by so many other things, and we don't really focus on the things that God wants us to focus on, and that's what hinders us. And so we want to look at these two keys, our energy and our focus, which I think are so foundational. Now, before we do that, though, let's take one step back. And let's look a little more carefully at this whole idea of transformation. God wants to change every part of our lives. God is concerned about a holistic transformation. In other words, that our whole being is being changed or transformed. Now, that takes time. That doesn't happen overnight. In fact, frankly, it takes years for that to happen, but it's a journey that we're on. It's a process that we go through to allowing God to change all of our lives to become more and more like Jesus. God wants total transformation, and the goal of that transformation is that all of us, all of our being, is more like Jesus. Our thoughts, our character, our attitudes, our relationships, our lifestyle, all of that is being influenced by God in that way, to be more and more like Jesus. And the way that I like to summarize our spiritual journey is this, is that our spiritual journey is all about this total transformation. And what we're talking about here is this idea of a holistic way that God wants to work in our lives, that he wants all of these parts of our lives to be aligned and influenced by Jesus. Now, when we use the word holistic, that brings up lots of ideas. For some of us, when you hear the word holistic, you think of holistic health. And some of you swear by holistic health practices, and others of you are skeptical about that. Or in a spiritual context, when you hear the word holistic, sometimes you think that's maybe some New Age mumbo jumbo or whatever. But actually, this idea of holistic is a very biblical idea. In fact, what I want us today to do is look at a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. It was recorded for us. Paul prayed it for the folks that he was originally writing to, but it's a prayer that affects us today, and it's a prayer that I hope that we can actually embrace in 2018, and it's found at the end of a letter that Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians. So take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's page 809. In the Bibles in the seats in front of you. And for those of you who are with us live online, we've got a digital link for you to follow there as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And let me just pause here. The word sanctify is a word that maybe we don't fully grasp. It's not a word we use a lot. The word sanctify is the verb form of that describes becoming holy. In other words, what Paul's saying here is, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. May he help you to become more holy, more like God, more like Jesus, through and through. And then the next sentence, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Transformation is possible because our God is faithful. He wants to change us and transform us to be more and more like Jesus, and he will do it. Now the idea of this of total transformation, of holistic transformation, is very, very strong here in verse 22. In fact, it actually occurs twice. Now, when Paul originally wrote this, he wrote in the Greek language, and there's two words in here that use this word whole. In fact, in the Greek, the word whole actually is holo. It's where we get our English sounding word from it. And the first one, because of translation, you may not pick it up, but he says, verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Completely, totally, wholly. And then the next verse, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Actually, both of those sentences are parallel. May God sanctify you through and through. May your whole body, spirit, soul be blameless on the day when you're going to face Jesus. And so this whole idea of this total transformation that God wants in our lives. Now, don't confuse total transformation with total perfection. That isn't going to happen this side of heaven. We can be transformed, truly transformed, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're perfect and never, ever fail. So we're not talking about total perfection. We're talking about total transformation, that all of the parts of our lives over time in this journey begin to become more and more like Jesus. And actually, that's parallel to not only other things that Paul teaches, but also something that Jesus taught us when he talked to us about what's the greatest commandment. When Jesus talks about the greatest commandment, he's also talking about this holistic aspect of life. Let me read to you the great commandment, or at least the first part of the great commandment from Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And as I read this, listen to the holistic nature of this. Here's what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We're encouraged to love God with our total being. And loving God means that we trust him, that we want to honor him by the way that we live, that every part of our life is focused on him. And that affects our physical being. It affects the non-physical part of our life. It addresses the outer part of our life as well as the inner part. And so this love that Jesus commands us that we're to have for God is that we surrender our every part of our life to God's influence. That's what it means to love God. When we love God, we allow God to shape what we believe and what we value. When we love God, we allow God to shape how we go about our work, how we treat others, how we go about our study. When we love God, we allow God to influence us in terms of the quality and the nature of our relationships. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that when we love God, we do it with all of our life. And we live all of our life in God's way. And that's what Paul was saying. That our whole body, soul, and spirit would be sanctified, becoming more and more like Jesus out of that deep love and respect and trust that we have for God. And by the way, the word sanctify means not only to become holy, but it also says that we're willing to not allow the world to influence us. And so we choose intentionally to not let the world influence, but we ask God to be the primary influence in our lives. But how do we have the energy and the focus to experience that totality of transformation? Because it takes energy and focus. And that's the question that I want us to ask. How will I have the energy and focus to allow God to transform me? And now I want to come back to those two things. It comes back to that energy and the focus. And I want to look at those carefully. And let's start with energy. And when we talk about energy, we're ultimately talking about our physical bodies. Now, Let me just be honest and admit that I don't know that I've ever really taught what I'm about to teach you. I'm not sure why. I don't think I've ever been embarrassed or afraid to do this. Maybe I've just assumed people understand this, but what I've begun to discover is that this issue of having energy is absolutely critical to our ability to work with God, to allow Him to change us and to transform us. And without that energy, it just doesn't go very well. And yet I don't hear people talking about this. And so I want to talk about this aspect of our physical bodies today. Now, before I jump into this, please know my heart and understand my purpose in addressing this. I'm not bringing up our physical bodies, our physical health, to hurt anybody, to embarrass anybody, to cause anybody shame. That's not my purpose at all. There are some times that we have physical limitations that we can't overcome, or at least can't overcome easily or quickly. And we're all different. What's healthy for one person is different for another person, and I understand all of that. But I want to address a reality that I think we all already know to be true. I don't even think I really have to convince you of this. Here's the reality. If our body is in bad shape for whatever reason, if we're unhealthy for whatever reason, then we struggle to have enough energy to really engage with God, to join with Him as He wants to change and transform us. Putting it as simply as I can, we need energy to be godly, right? It takes energy to truly be serious about doing the things that God wants us to do and being the people that God wants us to be. That takes actually a significant amount of energy. To dwell on spiritual things, to love and serve well, to invest well in relationships, that all takes a tremendous amount of energy. So how do we increase our energy? How do we grow our energy? There's three things that I want to remind you about. Again, I think you already know these. But let me remind you, because these are the three critical things that help our bodies to have the energy so that we can really allow God to transform us. And the first one is this. We get energy when we have a good, balanced diet. The energy comes through a good, balanced diet. That means eating the right foods, eating the right amount of food, not eating certain kinds of foods. And if you struggle with that, there are so many people and groups and systems, and there's so much information available on the web that it's not for a lack of information. In fact, if you do just basic research about what's a healthy, balanced diet, there's lots of information, and it all basically says essentially the same thing. It's just a matter of, are we going to get serious about providing ourselves with the energy because our diet is really good and balanced? The fact is, and I want to keep reminding us of this, our body does affect our spiritual life, and our spiritual life affects our body, and so we want to take this serious. Now, there's a second area that helps us to gain energy, and that's that we get energy through sleep and rest. We get energy. We increase our energy through sleep and rest. God made us to get rest, to sleep. Think about it. God created this whole world in 6 days. And what did He do on the seventh? God, the God of the universe, who's infinite, rested on the seventh day. And we are created in the image of God. We were created to rest. We need rest. And research has shown us that the average person, and there are a few exceptions, we always want to be the exception, but we're really average. The average person needs 7 hours of sleep a night consistently. Now, of course, that gets interrupted now and then, and that life happens, but to have consistent energy, we need to have a consistent pattern of at least 7 hours of sleep. But most of us don't really believe that. And I want you to think about this. Let me try to help you think maybe differently. The average person And again, there's always exceptions. The average person can go 3 days without water before they die. The average person can go 21 days without food before they die. The average person can only go 11 days without sleep before they die. And I say that because we get it. You got to have water, you're going to die. You got to have food, you're going to die. But I don't really need sleep. No, we do. And here's why. This is, you know, our brains are so phenomenal that we're still just beginning to try to understand even how our brains work. But the fact is, all of us, all of our bodies produce toxins. In other words, when all of those cells in our bodies are firing away, you know, they're producing toxins. And God created our body in such an amazing way. He created in our body this thing called the lymphatic system. You know, we don't really care about the lymphatic system, except if it didn't work, you die. What that lymphatic system does is it works in all your organs and it takes the toxins out of your body. Well, how does that work in your brain? And what science has told us is that it's a remarkable thing how God created us. You see, toxins are created in our brain as well. But how did those toxins get out of our brain? Well, here's how it happens. It happens in the 7-hour sleep cycle. Now, I won't get too technical, but here's what we understand. When you really have a 7-hour sleep, you've probably heard this, that there are times in that sleep where it's a deep sleep and then it's not so deep. And if some of you have these new watches, you can actually trace it and you can see when you're in a deep sleep and you're not a deep sleep. Here's what happens. When you're in the deep sleep, your brain actually shrinks. And that lets more fluid into your brain, which captures those toxins. And then when you come out of that deep sleep, your brain swells a little bit and pushes that fluid out of your brain. And that's how your brain removes the toxins. If you don't get 7 hours of sleep consistently, all those toxins in your brain and you become a toxic person. You know, you're sluggish and you're moody. And you don't think very clearly. That's why we tell students, staying up all night to cram doesn't really work. Because now you got all those toxins in your brain. And they don't help you do well on exams. We need sleep. So I've made it a habit. It's my discipline. To the best of my ability, certainly, you know, it can't be, nobody's perfect enough. But it's my commitment to get 7 hours of sleep every night. And I will tell you from experience, I have lots of energy. My wife says too much energy. And part of it is, part of it's diet, part of it's sleep, and then there's one more factor. We get energy from regular exercise. Regular exercise is absolutely critical for our body to work efficiently. We know that. We've heard that. For years and years, I ran. Now my knees don't like me so much for running, so I don't run anymore. But I ride a bike and I go to the gym as much as I can. But regular exercise doesn't mean that you gotta kill yourself burning 1,000 calories an hour. It just has to be simple, regular exercise like walking. You find whatever works for you in your situation. But that regular exercise, and this is what I've experienced over my whole lifetime, is that when I exercise consistently, regularly, I have a lot more energy. And when I'm not, I feel the energy just drain away. So the basics for a healthy body are a good balanced diet, enough sleep and rest, and regular exercise. But the reason I'm talking about those things aren't so that, you know, that you do those things so that you don't get as sick as often. I mean, that's a nice benefit. And it's not so you can look better. Some of you, that's not going to help. It's not so you can live longer. Those are all possible side benefits of being healthy. But the reason I'm encouraging you to take this seriously is because it gives us energy. energy to be the godly people that God wants us to be, to do the godly things that God wants us to do, to have the kinds of relationships with God and with others that honor Him. And so that's the reason for that. The total transformation won't happen if we don't have energy. So that's the one part of it. The other part is focus. Now, to really grow spiritually, not only do we need energy, we need focus. And let me talk about that. One of the tricks of the devil has lots of schemes that hurt us and we don't even realize it. And one of the tricks of the devil is to get us distracted by so many things. And so we look at ourselves, we're serious, we want to be transformed, and we look at the 47 things we got to transform in our lives, and then none of them get transformed. The trick is not to try to get it all done, but focus on one thing at a time. We learn that in so many aspects of life. You know, when you're trying to overcome an addiction, you just focus on one day at a time. You don't try to solve all the problems. I'm just going to stay sober one day. The same is true with our spiritual transformation. What's the one thing God wants me to be attentive to allow Him to work powerfully in my life right now? What's that one thing to focus on? So how do we focus? A number of years ago, I learned a tool that has worked for me. It has transformed me in some significant ways, and it's all about this principle of focus. And I've shared it with our church the last 3 years. It's the principle I call one word. We're entering a new year. And for 2018, we pick one word that characterizes, that pictures that one area, that one thing that we want to focus on, that we want to focus on with God to allow us to experience change and transformation. And so that one word becomes just a tool for focus. Because what happens at New Year's is that, you know, people make all these resolutions, and research shows us every year that people make all these resolutions at New Year's, and by about week three, they're forgotten. What if we just focused on one key thing all year long? And again, my experience has been profound. As I began the year, I thought I would learn some things, but I kept learning more and more as the year went on. And God brought about incredible transformation through this process of focusing on word. You see, that one word captures for us what we hope that will change. It brings about that hope for renewal and newness as we enter into 2018. And so here's how it works. It's really simple. You're asking the question, what's that one area that I want to become more like Jesus? That one word has to represent something that God wants for us. We've got to invite God into that process to say, what is it you want me to give attention to this year? What's that one main thing that I want to focus on? What's that one thing, God, I want you to transform in me? And it could look differently for different people. It could be that one word describes a habit or a discipline that you want to be a part of your life. For example, your one word could be the word less. Less TV. Less food, if that's an issue. Or it could be exercise. I want to have a more regular, consistent exercise. Or it could be a character quality. Sometimes people choose the word patience. Be very careful with that word. You know, you want to have more patience with your kids, with your spouse, with your boss, with your coworkers, and that might be a word you choose. Or maybe the word grace. You want to offer grace more quickly to people that you struggle to give grace to. Or the one word could describe an action. An attitude. For example, like joy could be your one word. That you want to choose joy more consistently, especially in the difficult times. Or it could be a word like pray. Instead of living in fear and anxiety and worry, that your one word is pray, that you wanna pray when you begin to feel and experience those situations. Or could be a word like simplify. You want to unclutter your schedule. You want to unclutter the physical place where you live. You want to unclutter your mind. You want to simplify your life. Or it could be the word energy, or it could be the word focus, because those are the two foundations to really allow God to transform us. And so my challenge to you is increase your physical energy this year and your spiritual focus. That's what we want to do. And so what I want to encourage you to do is pick one thing that'll, at least, don't try to do it all, but one thing that'll help begin to increase your energy and one way to begin to focus. And that's how we will answer the question, how will I have the energy and focus to allow God to transform me? And let's go back and be very practical with the idea of focus. What I want to encourage you to do is start with that one word idea right now. When you came in, I hope that you got one of these cards, says one word. If you didn't get one and you came in, grab one when you go out. Maybe you already know. God has already been telling you what that one thing is you need to focus on, and you can write it down. Or maybe you're going to enter into a time of process where you're asking God, God, show me what that is. Be so bold as to ask God, God, what is this one thing you want me to focus on that you want to change in me this year? And pray about it and reflect on it. And then once that becomes clear, write it down. And then once you've identified your one word, what's next is just as important. You begin to share that what that one word is with others. You verbalize it. You actually say it. And you show others. And what that does is it helps you to focus, and it also brings in some accountability. And so what I encourage you to do is once you have your one word figured out, write it down, take a selfie, post it on Facebook. Use hashtag one word along with that. And share it with others. And then if you're in a life group like we do in our life group, is once we identify this in January, then we share it with each other and talk with each other about this to encourage each other to truly follow that focus on that one word. And then put the card in a place that's obvious. You know, put it in your bathroom, put it in your kitchen, put it in your car, wherever it'll remind you constantly about that one word for this next year. My one word for this year is legacy. And I'm going to share more about why I chose that in a Facebook post this week and my blog. By the way, if you don't get my blog, I encourage you to subscribe online for that as well on our website. Now, I want to invite Chris Hamlin, our worship pastor, to come out and just share with us about his one word from last year, and then to lead us into some reflective time about our one word. Chris?
Thanks, Glenn.
Yeah.
So this is the third year that I've been able to take this journey of one word, and I love it because I wouldn't always be the most focused person, you know, I'll get on something and then kind of move on quickly, and so this helped me really connect with God, you know, throughout the whole year. I had a little trouble this past year, early in the year, you know, kind of hearing from God what he wanted from me, and so I just spent some time in prayer, and I kept feeling like the word see, S-E-E, was the word that kept coming to me, and I was like, oh, that's kind of vague, you know, how does that work out? It's kind of like the field of dreams, if you build it, they will come, you know, and I was like, I don't really know what to do with that, God, but I knew that that was kind of the word that kept coming, so I latched onto it and just began to pray, how do you want this to transform my life? And so it's been incredible this year. One of my life verses is Psalm 27. It's David, and he says, this one thing I ask, this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze or see his beauty, that I may seek him in his temple. And I love how that fits in with my word because I love our church. I love being with you guys and worshiping. I love seeing God move the way he does. So I knew that that was really fitting, and it was great because I connected those two right away. And absolutely, God has shown up in the past year in our services and in people's lives and my life. And it's so cool to see. But I didn't expect the second part, and that God throughout the year began to kind of just prompt me to say, you know, there's more to this word than just that. That's great, but there's more. And I realized that God wanted me to see the way he sees. He wanted me to see people. He wanted me to see situations. He wanted me to see my family. He wanted me to see my job the way he does. Because when that happens, that's where transformation happens for me. And so really cool this past year, God took me on that journey, and I barely scratched the surface. I do not see as God sees, as you all know, because I'm a human, but I'm working towards that, and I'm going to continue that process. But the one word, it's so cool because you will see it show up in so many different ways. God will bring it just when you're not expecting it, through his word, through a conversation, through a billboard as you're driving down the street. And it's cool because it's a reminder that he's here. He's with you. He's walking with you. And it absolutely is transformational. Glenn gave you a challenge to spend some time with God. So we want to take the next 2 minutes and do exactly that. I'm going to give you guys some time right here before you have to rush off and do the next thing in your day to just spend a couple of moments with God. If you know what your word is, write it down and then make it a prayer. God, how do you want this to come alive in my life? Maybe you don't know. Maybe this is your first time and you just want to make a prayer of God, reveal to me what you want, how you want to transform my life. So I'm going to give you about 2 minutes. Let's spend some time with God and then I'll come back and close. Father God, thank you for giving us opportunity to focus. Thank you for continuing to speak into our lives. We know that you're real, you're active, you're alive. Your very Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So speak to us today, tomorrow, over the next week. God, give us a single focus that we can be transformed in the power of your presence, God, because we want to live for you through and through with our whole self. So thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you for our church, Lord, as we go on this journey together in 2018. We're believing for incredible things because you're an incredible God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, our prayer team will be down front. You can come on down. If you're new, head over to Starting Point. It's got a big number 1. We'd love to connect with you. You guys have a great week. Happy New Year.